When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Denver Broncos select Bo Nix.
There it is.
Quarterback, Oregon.
Hey.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Absolutely. You want to win a Super Bowl? All right. Let's go. Coach Payton, what's up?
You ready to roll?
Hello, beautiful people. And Bo Nix, who's also a beautiful person. Welcome to a Friday edition of the show. The Broncos got themselves a quarterback, asking the coach if he's ready to win a Super Bowl. Look at that,
Stone. Wow.
Happy Friday to you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing better after the Broncos drafted a quarterback.
Yeah.
I was getting nervous there that Roger Goodell was going to say, you know, edge rusher Dallas Turner or cornerback, you know, Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
So needed a quarterback. And we thought they were going to take a quarterback, and they took a quarterback. They didn't mess around with moving back. I told you yesterday that's for losers.
You did.
Look at what Buffalo's doing. When is the last time Buffalo has won anything? We're not losers here. We got our stinking quarterback, a guy that Sean Payton, he loves.
Yeah.
Got his guy. Right? So now it's like, all right, you got your quarterback in place. Now you got to figure everything else out. But Sean Payton got the guy that he really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great thing. We'll see how it plays out, obviously.
Right.
But you got a plan. That's their plan, mm-hmm. Bo Nix. And that gets me excited. That makes me excited. That makes me optimistic about all of this. Right? I can be optimistic about Denver Broncos football in 2000 and what year are we in? 24.
Yep.
How'd you feel about it?
I was fired up. We both had Bo Nix as the target or a quarterback as the target. Get up and get a JJ if you could. That wasn't how it played out, but is a quarterback, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, I did think they'd make that trade back, but I actually liked what George Payton had to say about it last night, saying, hey, we thought about it. It was a conversation had down in the war room at Dove Valley, but we loved him so much that we couldn't take the gamble of just picking up, as he put it, a couple extra fifth-round picks and lose the guy that we love. So it's something you've been saying for a while. You love the guy, get him, no matter what it takes. And even if that does mean just sitting at 12 and waiting for him to drop to you. So I'm fired up for it, man. It's a quarterback. It's what this market has wanted forever. And I know we've done this dance before. But what other options do we have here, folks?
We haven't done the dance with Sean Payton.
We haven't.
So let's do this dance with Sean Payton
now. All right,
now, okay?
I like that. You know what else? I was thinking about this on the way in of like the split right now in Broncos country of if it was the right pick or if it was the wrong pick. And I don't know if it's social media. That's like an easy one for me to point my finger at and blame it on. Of like, I feel like 20 years ago, the Broncos, as desperate as they were for a quarterback, and they pick a quarterback at 12 and he's got kind of the numbers that Bo Nix has and the experience that Bo Nix has, people would be losing their damn minds. But now with social and podcasts and everybody has an opinion because they're the star of their own movie, and I get it. It's a world that we live in. But you know what I mean? It just takes it and it divides us instead of like, hey, what's the one thing, lowest common denominator? You ask 1,000 Broncos fans, what's the one thing they've needed in 9 years? And the answer at 100% rate is quarterback. And now they've tried to address that. It's just strange to me that everybody, you know, like 50% of the fan base feels like they've made up their mind before the guy even has an introductory press conference that comes at 2:00. Like, let's let the kid show us before you make your decisions.
Yeah, and that's all right. You know, people are going to have opinions on it, and but now they're able to voice those opinions because they got all these different platforms. So that's you know, that's the nature of sports in 2024. So all good. I prefer to look at this and take the optimistic approach.
Me too.
I don't know. Like, You know, I was doing cartwheels when Jerry Jeudy was drafted. Didn't work out, right? So let's just wait and see. But I'm just optimistic and excited about a young quarterback that gets to work with Sean Payton, a guy that Sean Payton, he's highlighted this guy for months now. Mm-hmm. This was his guy for months now, folks. And so this is who they wanted, okay? And that's who they got. So let's go. This is the Sean Payton show, okay?
Yeah.
And now he got the quarterback that he wanted, that he coveted. All right, now it's really like no excuses, no explanations. Like, oh, Sean couldn't get his quarterback. Right? That's why this thing didn't work out. You know, that's why we're in year four. That's why Sean didn't make it to year five. He just never could get his quarterback, unfortunately. Sean got his quarterback, folks.
Yeah.
Right? So Let's go. This is Sean's show, and now he's got his quarterback to start trying to work his magic here.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not be excited and optimistic about it? Okay. People say, well, he got drafted too high. Did he? According to who?
Sure.
Mel Kiper? Like, are y'all doing the mock drafts? Mm-hmm. I mean, like Mel Kiper was like, it felt like he was 0 for 50 last night.
We could get a list of Mel Kiper's wrongs and his rights, and I guess which one's longer.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, all right, it doesn't matter. You're just trying to get the pick right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you overdrafted a guy. Oh, you could have got him at 24. Oh, you sure about that?
Right.
Are we sure about that? We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't want to gamble with that. That's just like George Payton said, for what, a couple fifths? No, you're not going to gamble. You're there at 12, and maybe you did overdraft him. Maybe some people had him going in the 20s or early second round. You don't have a second round pick. You don't have a late 20s pick. You take him at 12, and you don't worry about what anybody else says because you really like that player. So I love the pick. I hope the pick works out. They were aggressive and got their guy and didn't play around with it. And I say aggressive, but and the other thing for me is they didn't have to move up.
Right. Like, they still have a 2025 first round draft.
How about
pick?
That? And that could be an early pick because there might be some struggles this year.
That's right.
But that's a good thing. We got a quarterback, and we didn't have to waste, you know, all our future first-round picks. We didn't have to trade Pat Surtain, all these different things, right? So, hey, I think it was a really, really good night for the Denver Broncos last night. A great night for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Right?
I do, too.
Here's the other kicker in here. If we didn't have cameras in here, the Raiders were right behind us. I know the Raiders were going to take Bo Nix. They were going to take Bo Nix. I just know they were going to take Bo Nix, and they didn't get a quarterback, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Take that JT the Brick and stick it you know where. So that gets me so fired up. He came on our show, and he was running his mouth. It was funny. So I'm glad they didn't get a quarterback. They wanted Michael Penix Jr., and they got shut out on that. And I think they would have taken Bo Nix if the Broncos didn't take him. So the Raiders get no quarterback, and we get a quarterback. That just made my night.
Yeah, that is just some icing on the cake of the Broncos getting a quarterback and the Raiders not getting a quarterback. So Broncos country, let us know. RamosLaw.com text line. It's a big show for you guys to tell us what you feel about Bo Nix. He is now a Bronco, will be introduced to the media and to fans today at 2 o'clock. He did take to his Instagram, though, and had this to say to Broncos fans.
What's up, Denver? I am so excited to be a Bronco. This is such a dream come true. From day one, Denver was my number one. I want to say thank you to the organization. I can't wait to meet the fans. Broncos country, let's go.
Pretty nice, right?
I like it. Yeah,
Broncos
I like
country,
it.
Broncos country, let's go.
Don't Denver say was, let's ride.
Denver was his, day one choice. That's nice
to
hear.
Well, he's going to say that about anything,
well, yeah,
right?
But I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, sure.
He hasn't done anything to upset me yet.
Right. Well, that's a good thing. We don't want to upset Josh Dover. If it was the Raiders were my number one choice, right?
Sure.
But he's selling it. It's good. And I'm sure he's excited to work with Sean Payton, right?
Of course.
So, look. I don't know why you would be down on the pick, honestly, unless you're just a negative person.
Yeah, there's haters.
Right? Unless you're just a negative person, I don't know, you know, because I'm relying on Sean Payton here, folks. Right? That's who I'm relying on.
Right.
That's who I'm putting my trust in. And this was his guy.
Yeah.
They're not making this up, telling us a story. This was Sean Payton's guy for months, and he got his guy. So let's ride.
He's the, not let's ride. Let's go.
Let's ride. Broncos country.
We're riding again. Also, I kind of like this stat, and I'll hang on to it if he pops, right? Like, six quarterbacks picked in round one ties the 1983 record for draft picks or quarterbacks picked in round one. In that draft, the last quarterback selected was Dan Marino.
Pretty solid.
Pretty good guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody rips on him for only going to one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty fired up for a Super Bowl.
Exactly. And that's why I hate when I'm hearing people saying, well, the Broncos got the sixth best quarterback. No, they didn't. We don't know that.
Nobody knows what quarterback
right.
he is.
So did the Miami Dolphins. They got, what, the fifth best quarterback that draft?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be Dan Marino.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you're what number you're drafted at. That doesn't mean that's what you're going to be in 5 years.
Yeah.
We'll see. They might have got the best quarterback there.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me doesn't make any sense. They got the sixth best quarterback. Huh. What? No. We'll see.
Yeah, hey, listen, haters welcome as well. If you don't like it, tell us why on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We're fired up about it, though. Needed a quarterback, got a quarterback. What kind of quarterback will Bo be? Well, that's all TBD, and we'll figure that out in the near future. Let's go to L.A. because it was a big one, and now the Nuggets are a game away from another sweep of the Lakers and Laker Dane out there. We're going to get into that game last night and give some credit to these two Nuggets that were stars, and it's not the two that you think. That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
We got plenty to continue chatting about with the draft and Bo Nix, and going to get your reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line. I am seeing a whole lot of positive texts right now from Broncos country, fired up about a quarterback coming to Colorado. So like that, continue to tell us how you feel on the text line at 303-713-1043. But we have to go to L.A. for game number three last night. It was a chance for the Lakers to play on their home hardwood, to end the streak against the Denver Nuggets, and they weren't able to do that. So they're now up 3-0. It is looking real bad for the Los Angeles Lakers, and it was also just more of the same. They played some pretty good basketball throughout the first half. They were in control again throughout the first half. But you knew it was just a matter of time before the Nuggets turned it on. This time, Aaron Gordon leading the way. Of course, Joker did Joker things. Jamal played pretty solid as well. Still got to find the shot a bit.
Yeah.
But, man, last night, it was an Aaron Gordon and a Michael Porter Jr. game. But first and foremost, we got to give some love to AG. That was an impressive damn performance. He was second best player on the floor last night. Man,
yeah.
And he is a big reason they're up 3-0 now and about to send the Lakers fishing.
Yeah, I mean, just a terrible start, right? And terrible first quarter there. Quarter period. What do they call them in basketball?
Quarter.
Quarter. Terrible first quarter there. In the first half, I don't know how many turnovers we had, but it felt like a million. And early in that game, it's like, all right, guys, wake up. Let's go. Like, are you just, you think the Lakers are going to just roll over and tap out here? But they get it going. It's like so weird how when they just flip it, it's like, wow, okay, here we go. And game two, Michael Porter Jr. made some big-time shots, and this was just Aaron Gordon. I mean, he is just rebounds, dunks left and right, just doing it all, right? And so it's nice to have a guy like that. You're usually, when you're looking at scoring, you're saying Jokic, you're saying Murray, you're saying Porter Jr., maybe even Caldwell Pope, and then like last on the list might be Aaron Gordon.
Right.
And then that's what he provided for you last night. When you have a team like that where, hey, sometimes Aaron Gordon will be that dude. That's a big-time luxury to have. But that was such a big game right there. You took their heart. Like, if there was ever a small slimmer of a chance that they could flip this series around, you know, it would be starting with game three.
You're right.
Because, like I told you the other day, the Nuggets didn't do anything at home. They just won two games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were supposed to do. That's what they needed to do, right? And the Lakers had to win the next two. And if they did that, everything is square. Everything is even. Like, okay, who cares about the 10, 11 wins in a row? That doesn't matter. So the Nuggets needed to win at least one on the road, and they did it. And they played a great second half there and came out and just did what they do, man. It's impressive. A very impressive group.
It is absolutely impressive. They're just so much better than the Los Angeles Lakers. Like we said, how great Anthony Davis is, and that pains me to say because I don't like Anthony Davis, and he went to Kentucky. That was like the double no-no for me. And with LeBron being 40 years old and still one of the best players in the league right now, they just don't have the horses. They cannot beat the Denver Nuggets. They play such a great brand of team basketball. Everybody knowing, hey, I'll give up my good-looking shot to get my guy a great-looking shot. And that's just who the Denver Nuggets are. So this thing is a wrap. It's over. Did you see D'Angelo Russell on the timeout?
Yeah.
Was he eating snacks? What was he doing? Eating gummies out of some sort of package or something? That, dude, I know that they're in the situation that they're in, but this is now year two that D'Angelo Russell has thrown a little temper tantrum and acted like a full-grown crybaby in a playoff series against the Denver Nuggets. I wouldn't want that dude in my locker room on my 4-year-old rec league team, bro.
No. Last year it ended bad for him with him being benched against the Nuggets. And we all know game two, he was great. I don't know, he might have been eating those good gummies because right. He was 0-for-7 and 0-for-6 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. So and that means he had 0 points. But he did have 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Just awful, awful. And then if you didn't see it, he's just sitting by himself. The huddle is over, by the scoring table, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 feet away from him. He's just sitting by himself on the bench while the rest of the team's in the huddle, and he's just eating something.
Yeah.
Really odd, really weird. And then that's a head-scratcher for me. It's like, okay, I don't get it. All right, well, I mean, if you're not going to be a part of this team, then you know what, just stay at home.
Yeah, we don't need the distraction, right?
Exactly. And so I don't know. I don't know if that's a big distraction for those guys or not. I don't know if that's a big deal in the NBA or not.
Would it make you mad?
Well, yeah.
Like, if you're a teammate, I would be curious in that moment.
LeBron?
It'd be hard for me to not say something to him or address him right then and there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. LeBron, where you at?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're the leader of that team. Y'all going to allow that to happen? I would think it's a big deal, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how NBA rolls. Maybe he wasn't in the game, and it's all good. Don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. Just, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
Get up there and be with your teammates. Everyone else is up there, and you're just by your lonesome self over there, snacking. I mean, come on. It's just, it's an
snacking.
It's an awful look.
Yeah.
Like, bro, are you that hungry? Like, really? What is going on? And bring your fruit snacks over to the huddle and eat, at least pretend like you're interested in the basketball game. It is. It's a really, really bad look. But I look at the veteran leadership, LeBron, AD, and then the coach. Y'all just going to allow that to happen? No message being sent here at all? Just really odd.
Couple texts here. This is a texter from Washington State. This is a good one. Said, here's LeBron. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but 11 losses to my daddy.
Like it. I like it. Have we heard from Laker Dane?
He's actually checking in right now.
Yeah, Laker Dane.
You know what? You and I have some respect for Laker
Dane. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because it's actually very ironic, and I find it comical, that Laker Dane's he's the only Laker fan we're hearing from right now. And we used to hear from a lot of them. Where are you at there, Texter, talking about the 17 championships and how cute it was that the Nuggets won one? Haven't heard from you in quite a while, which is pretty interesting. But Laker Dane says, this is good. Laker Dane in the building. All I can say is, man, I miss the good old days because nowadays the Nuggets literally own the Lakers. And it's an embarrassment that my team has put out the last 3 games. Has me reminiscing about the good old days.
All right. All right. See, I like that. That's respect right there.
And he says at the end, very excited about Bo Nix. Laker Dane's our guy. All right.
Yeah, that's our guy. I mean, we can talk trash and still in a respectful way.
Of course.
Back and forth there. But the game, it was so impressive, too, because you look at, again, the bench did nothing. Did nothing, really. I mean, Reggie Jackson, chicken fingers, buddy. He was the only one to make a 3-pointer, right? Christian 0-for-2, Holiday 0-for-4.
Yeah, maybe
Watson
0-for-1.
Yeah, maybe just go to the rim or just pass it to someone else there. And Reggie was 1-for-2. So, I mean, the Nuggets, like you beat the Lakers by 7 at their place, right? And you shot 17.9% from 3.
Dang, that's what it was.
5-for-28, and you still beat them by 7 points at their place. I mean, which is remarkable. And it felt like you had 50 turnovers in the first half. I mean, I think they ended up with 13 turnovers, but it felt like 5, 6, 7 of them were early, and it's like Jamal and just like, God, just they were way off, and it's like, are they going to be able to get this thing back together? And then boom, there they go. But to win that type of basketball game, shooting 18% from three,
that's crazy.
That really is. But you're able to do that when the opposing team shoots 18.5%. So that helps, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally the definition of JV and varsity. We've all been in the situations, right? JV, varsity, you're scrimmaging, you're getting ready for a game. And even if JV's getting a little run together, you're on the varsity side going, all right, this is cute. Are you guys ready? You guys ready to turn it on? Let's put this to bed real quick. And that's what the Denver Nuggets have done in both, all three now, second halves of games 1, 2, and 3. The Lakers are soon to be on summer vacation.
This is a good little quick stat here.
All right.
I'm trying to make sure this is correct here. Both teams, folks, field goal percentage. Both teams were 44 for 90. Both teams. Zach same.
Okay.
48.9%.
Dang.
That's remarkable that both teams shot the exact same from the floor. 44 for 90. You don't seem that impressed by that.
It's a crazy coincidence.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You just don't seem that impressed as I was. I just thought that I was like, wow, they shot the exact same amount of shots. How often does that happen? And they made the same exact amount of shots, and the Nuggets won by 7. How often does that happen? I'm amazed by this, and you just like,
Now you know how I feel about my blunt reverts in a 3-foot half pipe that you don't care about.
I care about it when you fall.
Well, not the right way of care.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to laugh at you. I just thought that was pretty cool.
It is cool. I like it.
No, it's too late. You're too late now. To the party. Yeah, you're out.
All right, let's go back to the draft, Stoke. Plenty more to chat about with these Nuggets, but we know the Broncos got Bo Nix. We like the pick. TBD on what it's going to mean, but we like that they addressed the quarterback position. But what were the biggest stories, surprises from round one? Well, it starts and ends in Atlanta. That conversation's coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, what kind of surprises did we get out of round one of the NFL draft? Rounds 2 and 3 going to go down today. The Broncos do have a pick in round number 3. It's number 76 overall. And then, of course, 4 through 7, they'll wrap it on up tomorrow and see what the Broncos have with their 8 total picks. First and foremost, Stoke, it was in Detroit, and over 275,000 people showed up to watch the draft, and that sets an NFL record for day one, at least, that broke the record from Nashville. It's Kevin's second home there back in 2018. But, dude, the crowd, the overhead shots, like, it was crazy to see.
Impressive.
How many people were there.
Yeah, really, really impressive. A great turnout from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was, when Detroit got the draft, it's like, Detroit?
Right.
What are we doing here? this is going to be terrible. But, man, those people turned out, and that was quite the scene.
It was, and it was a big night for a lot of teams. Maybe not quite the biggest night for Kirk Cousins. That was the surprise, right? The Falcons are sitting there at 8. Every single mock I read had Dallas Turner going to the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not over-exaggerating. Every single mock had that as the pick. And then they call in Michael Penix Jr. as the pick. Stoke, it caught me by surprise for sure. How about you?
Yeah, well, when I asked James Palmer this week about what could be the shock of the draft, he told us Falcons taking a quarterback at 8. It's like, wow, we both were like shocked. And so then I didn't think it was going to happen, though. And so when it happened, it's like, wow, he was right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still very, very surprising. I mean, what are you doing, Falcons? What are you doing? It just makes no sense. Do you have a plan? Apparently not.
Well, they did talk about, we're not going to be in the top 10 again with Kirk Cousins as our quarterback. So we had an opportunity to find a quarterback for post-Kirk Cousins inside the top 10 of a draft. That's what they tried to sell after the pick was made, and they talked to some media folks.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it works out. It's worked out well for Green Bay, certainly, drafting those quarterbacks in the first round as heir apparents to Favre and Rodgers, right? Both seem like they, you know, looks like Love is the was the right pick. And so we'll see if Atlanta can duplicate that. I just, that's a head, it's got to work out. He's got to be that guy. And if he's not, then just a terrible, terrible pick because it's a weak division. You could have helped Kirk Cousins out with an offensive lineman, with a pass rusher. They chose to take a quarterback. And, you know, we'll look back in 2, 3, 4 years and see if that was a good decision or a bad decision. It was just a strange decision.
Yeah.
It's again, it's like, do you have a plan? What was your plan when you signed Kirk Cousins? You knew where you were drafting.
And gave him $100 million.
Right. You knew where you were at. If you plan on drafting a quarterback, then you shouldn't have paid Kirk Cousins all that money. Right? So it's just like there was no long-term vision there. It was, hey, we need a quarterback. Let's go sign Kirk Cousins. And then, oh, yeah, we might like this guy in the draft. I mean, if you like that guy in the draft, then you shouldn't have signed Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the biggest issue here is, I don't know. They seem like they're flying by the seat of their pants over there, going day by day. No, you need to have you need to look at the bigger picture, not only about like right when free agency starts, but also the possibility of the young quarterbacks, especially when you're going to pay someone. What is this? $100 million guaranteed? Yeah. 160, whatever it is overall, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make much sense to me.
100 guaranteed at signing.
Yeah, so doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you can really think about, but I'm looking at his contract now, is like, all right, maybe it's a 2-year. They're going to get all the guaranteed money out. That looks like the case, but you're still looking at $57 million cap hits for Kirk Cousins in the final couple of years. So it is a very, very strange move from the Atlanta Falcons, but I think you have to like that they also maybe screwed the Las Vegas Raiders over, who wanted Michael Penix Jr., who were in line for Michael Penix Jr., and then obviously couldn't get Michael Penix Jr. Real fast, here is James Palmer telling us on Wednesday of this week about Atlanta.
The surprise for the first round? What if Atlanta took a quarterback right after getting Kirk Cousins?
Sitting there at 8, right?
All of this for a loop when they're sitting there at 8.
Yeah, he knew something. He knew something was up, and he was
on over it.
Nice work there, JP. The other thing, Stoke, from the draft in round one was that the Raiders actually did get Brock Bowers. So I'm sure they had their plans. They wanted the quarterback, as we talked about and learned about with Michael Penix Jr., even them trying to trade up last night. We learned a little bit about that to get a Michael Penix Jr. But then, hey, they had it fall right in their laps. They go and get Brock Bowers, which, you know, could be a problem for the Denver Broncos and their ability or inability as of now to cover tight ends.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like. You know, we'll be following this one really closely. We're going to see Brock Bowers a couple times a year. They're in our division. We got a quarterback. They got a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll follow this thing and see what it looks like a couple years from now. But I like who we got. I like the position that we got. And so I'm A-okay with it. And we'll see what it looks like for the Raiders. But I think they were disappointed that they didn't get a quarterback. And certainly, you know, all the reports, it was Michael Penix Jr. But I really do think they would have taken Bo Nix there if the Broncos didn't take him at 12. So, but, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, wanted Brock Bowers for the Denver Broncos. I thought there was a chance they might draft him there when things were falling that way. And then maybe try to move back in the first round if Bo Nix fell. Didn't happen. So the Raiders get him. And, you know, we'll see what it looks like. I feel good about taking our quarter. I'd much rather gamble with Bo Nix than take a tight end in that position last night.
Me too. Yeah, even if Brock Bowers is the best tight end of the group, which it seems like he is. Obviously, the play on the field will determine that in the future, but it's tight end or quarterback. We've done this 1,000 times leading up to the draft. Nothing matters more than quarterback. The Broncos had to figure that out. The Broncos did hopefully figure that out. All right, I want to tell you about the Fan Flyaway. This thing is back this time for a road game in the Pro Basketball Championship that's going to come up in June. If you get to denversports.com/thefanflyaway, you're going to do two things. Register for the Flyaway first and foremost, and then claim your special offer from our friends at Sport Clips. If you win, your name is called at the end of all of this. You're going to get two tickets to a game because it's for you and a guest. Round trip airfare for you and a guest from Denver to wherever the game may be. Put you up in a hotel for two nights and give you $500 to spend while you're out there. If you previously entered into the February Fan Flyaway, you don't have to double dip. We've already got you registered for this one. And then when you register, if you're a new user, you're going to be registered for all future Fan Flyaway. So hit us up at denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register, claim your special offer, and it's all thanks to our friends over at Sport Clips.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, it's a big night for the Avs, Stoke. They are on the ice against the Jets. Game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock. And then they're also going to get game 4 down at Ball Arena Sunday afternoon. Afternoon delight for the Avs and Jets. That's a 12:30 puck drop on Sunday afternoon. You like those midday games?
No.
I don't really either.
Because then I'm not used to it. Right, football, we know, you know, the start times around here. But, like, Sunday early hockey is, like, that just catches you off guard. Like, oh, wait, they're playing right now?
Yeah.
Oh, so... No, I don't. I'd rather be, you know, the 7 o'clockers, 8 o'clock. That's what I prefer.
I do too.
Too early. I don't know. I'm not
out and about.
I'm
doing
saying
stuff.
That, but I'm like, it's not too early for football.
Yeah, but we're programmed.
Right, we're wired. We're ready to go. And then once football season's over, it's like no other sport's supposed to start at, you know, that time on a Sunday.
Yeah, every sport is a night event except for football.
That's right.
And it feels weird if it's not.
Yes,
a night event.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun, but it is a little strange there. The question is still about goaltending when it comes to the Colorado Avalanche. There's a question about Mikko Rantanen that we're going to kick around today, too. But are we going to see Justus Onanen this weekend? Or have you know has Georgie done enough for himself, for Bednar, for you, for Avs fans, to continue to get that job between the pipes for games 3 and 4?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I hope we don't see Onanen. But no, he hadn't done enough to just say, all right, you're going to be our goalie for the next two games. Not even close. I mean, he's got to earn it. Every game, he's got to earn. You can't trust him enough. He hasn't built up enough equity from what he's done previously to say, oh, no, we can trust this guy. We can count on this guy if he has one bad game. So I don't know what it looks like. Like, is it, you know, 4 goals in 2 periods. I think it just all depends on how it feels and, like, what it looks like on the ice.
Okay.
Bad goals, you know, sloppy play from him, those types of things. Then you got to make a move.
All right. You're right. It's all about what happens inside the game. If he can just string another one together, get some confidence, continue to build in the right direction. And then else, you know what I was thinking about with the goaltenders on both sides, Winnipeg and Colorado. Who do you think feels more pressure on themselves right now? Alexander Georgiev or Connor Hellebuyck, who might win the Vezina as the best goalie in the league and has this history of first-round performances, him and his team, and now they've lost home ice advantage. As much as we freak out and go, oh, Georgie's going to cost the Avs a chance to get another cup in the Mile High City, I think that Connor Hellebuyck has maybe more pressure than Alexander Georgiev has throughout this series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's well put. I mean, you look at him, he's been bad.
Yeah.
He's been really bad. He gave up 6 the first game, and that was when they had a comfortable lead. And then all of a sudden, it was a ball game. And then, you know, obviously, the last game gave up 5, and they had a lead in that one. You know, and it was 1-0, then 1-1, then 2-1, and, you know, he gave that up. So I think you might be right there. And with Georgie, I think there probably is the more pressure on Hellebuyck. I'm just going to call him Hellebuyck.
I know. I like when you do that.
I look at Georgie, and the one thing here is I feel like they're trying to sell me. They're trying to sell me something, and I'm really not buying it.
Like on him being okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, yeah. You know, he's talking a lot about it, like his teammates are, you know, they got his back, and, you know, he appreciates them, and, you know, Bednar's talking a lot about it. But I'm not buying this. I think he is very, very fragile right now. I think he could crack at any moment, and I think they know that, and that's why they're doing all of these things. And so I'm really concerned about that, that you could see a guy that just breaks. And so because it's they're trying too hard, and I'm like, man, y'all are. Wow, okay. And I'm not buying it.
Well, let's listen to the latest from Jared Bednar and see if it's a sell job about Georgie.
There's been a lot of belief from our room that he's got that within him, even though he's gone through this recent slump at the end of the year. And
you know, we talked about it as a team. It wasn't just him. It was our whole team. And if you didn't have to back up very far to the point where we were 9-1 coming out of the deadline, and Gorgie was playing every game and saving above expected in all those games.
Yeah, so he has to do a little bit of a sell job and including the team perspective on that as well.
Yeah.
But, what is he going to do? He is fragile. You have to pump him up, pick him up as much as you can.
Yeah, he's doing what he should do, right? I like that. And, hey, man, it's not all on you. Mm-hmm. We got to play better around him. You know what that sounds like?
What's that sound like?
It sounds like a coach making excuses for a quarterback. It's not all his fault. Like, we can't block for him. Mm-hmm. Like, Marilat making excuses for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like right there. You guys got to get open. They got to catch the ball. They got to get separated. Our running game stinks. Quarterback can't do everything. We need better play around him, mm-hmm. right? That's what it sounds
it does.
Like.
Really does.
Right there. It's like, but, look, it can be true. They got to play better around him, certainly. So, but again, they're saying and doing the right things. That's what you should do. I'm just not buying it. I think, if you sat next to one of those guys, or Bednar, mm-hmm. and it was just y'all two at the bar, and they were being very truthful, it would be like, we're very nervous about our goalie situation. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I really do believe that behind the scenes, it's one of those things they're just keeping their fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. I know they were 9-1. They won 9 in a row or whatever. And obviously he's playing good then. But I think they realize he's very fragile and it could be a disaster at any moment.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And they have to, for lack of a better term, handle it with kid gloves.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he is that fragile. So it's a big one tonight. Mikko Rantanen is another question that I want to kind of talk about and kick around today. He hasn't been very good in the first couple of games. I do give him some credit, especially the latter part of the third period game two. He had some big plays, getting the puck out of their own zone when Winnipeg has an extra man on the ice, those kind of things. But that's not what Mikko Rantanen's here to do. Mikko Rantanen's here to score some dang goals, get a couple of helpers, and he hasn't really been doing that throughout the first couple of games. Need a big weekend from Mikko Rantanen, and Alexander Georgiev is obvious. But outside of that, they're not going to win both games at home unless Mikko returns to form.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good point. You look at him through the first two games, and the first game, they lost 7-6. He had one shot. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Obviously, the next game, they won 5-2. He had two shots. So, need to get him going a little bit. I'm not panicking about it. It's two games. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. Yeah, he's got to get it going a little bit more, and I think he will. Back home ice, back at, home and ball arena, and got some momentum after the last game. So I think it's just one of those games where, it's two games. It happens sometimes, and he'll find his mojo, and he'll find his groove tonight.
Also, some of the texters on the RamosLaw.com text line. This is kind of our world of, baseball's out of sight, out of mind for our market. But a few texters have been like, every baseball game is pretty much started during the day.
Yeah, well, that would...
So it gets into the night.
Right.
And Thursdays and Sundays are getaway games of the day. That's kind of it.
Yeah, so you got the Sundays that start midday.
Mm-hmm. 1:10 here in Colorado is a Sunday
game. What about Saturday? Not here?
I still think it's nighttime.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Across MLB?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Guys... We don't watch that much baseball.
No, I'm watching zero baseball this year.
Right.
I'm banning baseball.
You're out. Just, baseball's out in Stokes
it's
world.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. I tapped out of my bet with Bearcat Jim.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled I did. Zach's going to have to pony up all of it.
He should.
He pissed off Bearcat Jim.
Yes.
Bearcat Jim's giving him, he turned from the nicest guy ever to all right, you want to play hardball?
Yeah.
Okay, no more cash out offers.
That's what he should be doing. Good on Bearcat Jim.
Exactly. I cashed out early, and so I didn't have to put myself through that misery, and I'm mm-hmm. so glad I did. How bad did they lose yesterday?
I didn't watch a second.
Oh, we don't even know the score?
Second. They
second
lost.
Fingers?
I know they lost.
They lost.
They won. Okay, they won. See, I know everything.
The Rockies won.
So they split the series with San Diego, but it's still not a win.
Wow.
And they go to... Mexico City. This actually kind of stinks, Stoke, on Sunday.
They won 10-9.
Yeah.
They scored 10 runs.
Wow.
How did that happen?
I wonder if they were ever up in the game. because that hasn't happened yet. They're in Mexico City this weekend, Stoke, and they actually are going to play a day game on Sunday for the world to watch. You could watch the Astros and the Rockies in Mexico City Sunday on ESPN.
They scored 6 runs in the 8th. Mm. Unbelievable. They were down 9-4. Good job, Rockies.
Is it?
They're 7-19 right now. That's a good comeback, man. Got to give them credit when they play well. I mean, I'm not hating on them. I just expected them to lose.
Yeah, I mean, dude, with Nuggets playoffs and the NFL draft, the Rockies weren't getting a second of my time last night.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But it's, not good. Not good. Didn't start good. Won't probably finish good here. So do we have a Chris Bryant update?
He's still not playing.
Oh.
I'm assuming he's not going to go to Mexico City with the team. He's dealing with back tightness and all this stuff that goes on there.
A lot of hugs at home.
That's
Stay back and just give a bunch of hugs.
That's right. Heating pad, hug, ice, hug. That's the routine for Chris Bryant here this afternoon. So, yeah, so apologies to the national audience that'll get to see the Rockies on Sunday afternoon on ESPN. All right, let's talk some Broncos. They get their quarterback. Is it the pick you wanted? Is it the quarterback you wanted? We'll tell you if we like it. Want to get your thoughts on the text line. Plus, we have the number that Bo Nix is going to wear so you can start to prepare for your new Broncos jerseys. That's coming up next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.